T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Anthony Rizzo tweeting, "Hey, at Reds, when do you think the window is? Asking for some friends. Maybe check at Home Depot for one."
Actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
It's just a screenshot of the greater Cincinnati area covered in orange and red meteorology.
Yeah, I was very happy to see Muncie, Indiana, where I went to college on that radar shot.
Ball State University. The home of Mitch Rosen's son, Ben.
We sent it to Cincinnati for Cubs pregame, and they give it back to us because it's just pouring rain.
And it was pouring in Milwaukee.
And it doesn't look like it's letting up. Everybody is wondering what the hell are the Reds doing holding on to this thing for, because most maps show that area being covered in precipitation until 11 o'clock tonight.
It's a deluge, Mac. I think that's what a meteorologist would say. Just a constant drought of rain all times. Anthony Rizzo.
A drought of rain.
Wait, what?
A drought of rain.
There we go. So glad we came back on.
Oh, this is the good stuff. This is what they line up for.
Are we going to bring that back? Right?
Let's freeze it right about now. Go ahead and roll it.
Say just a constant drought of rain all times.
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What was wrong?
What was I looking for there instead of drought? An onslaught of rain?
That would work.
An avalanche of rain? Rain doesn't avalanche. What does rain do when it pours?
Bet you they line up to hear this one.
They say in every life some rain must fall. Well, I've had some hurricanes descend in my life, but...
Just a constant drought of rain.
Dumbass.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Drought of rain. I got nothing.
A blanket of rain. A blanket would have worked. That would have been a word you could have found, but didn't.
Didn't, yeah. I consider myself of above average intelligence, but mounting evidence to the contrary. Black widow spiders and downpours and deluges and droughts. Oh, my!
Open mouth say things.
That's right. Okay, that was a busy hour with Steve Stone and Jed Hoyer and that news from Jeff Passan that basically is Commissioner of Baseball Rob Manfred called Tony Clark, who runs the Players Union, and said, spread this message to your union. You got to do better or else this season is getting shut down. 20% of the teams are not playing Major League Baseball tonight. Because of the coronavirus, it started obviously with the outbreak with the Marlins, up to 20 positive tests for them. It's reached the Central Division with 2 positive tests for the Cardinals. So their game against the Brewers has been postponed. It's interesting to me, like Jed wants to project confidence. Hearing guys talk about flexibility and adjusting the rules on the fly, I got no problem with that. But let me give you this. This is from our guy Bruce Levine on Twitter. David Ross is just starting to meet the Cubs media ahead of tonight's game. David Ross on Commissioner Manfred telling MLBPA that players must do a better job of adhering to the medical protocol. Quote, "I don't have any objection to saying players need to do a better job. I object to pinning things on my players who haven't done anything." End quote. He's way off there, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he doesn't get it, man.
Danny, Jed Hoyer painted a much rosier picture than I would have expected on his own team as well. That's how he feels about it. He thinks they're getting high marks for what they've doing, for what they've been doing, and with the manager excusing himself You know, because he's friendly with Kyle Hendricks and has known him for a long time, that that's okay to have an embrace after his complete game shutout on opening night. That's not what was that's not what the 113 pages suggested. I don't agree with Ross. I don't agree with Hoyer. I don't think anybody I've been watching is doing a good job, and that includes the White Sox. I think it has been inconsistent from day one, and why it wasn't mandated right out of the gate. You wear masks over your nose the entire time you're in the dugout. That's essential to this thing working, and, you know, zero tolerance for it. That amazes me, because it's been pretty much just everybody going with what they feel they want to do. Some guys fully masked all the time. Some guys never wearing a mask. Some guys wearing the mask around their neck or underneath the chin or you know, over the mouth but not over the nose. It's just been very, very inconsistent, and that includes the Cubs. That includes the White Sox.
Well, so I agree with you. I think what's happened is a false sense of security that comes from, hey, we have negative tests. We haven't had any positive tests on our team. Our guys are taking this being responsible. So therefore, if we've had no positive tests among players, obviously Tommy Hotovy in the offseason. But I think where one place where you and I might differ is you're not necessarily being irresponsible if you test positive for coronavirus. Now, it looks like the Marlins absolutely were irresponsible. There's reports that they were going out to the club and that they were congregating in the lobby bar of the hotel that they were at. Like, that's obviously ridiculous, and Don Mattingly has to get his house in order. And baseball reporters left and right are coming out on Twitter saying that players are furious at the Marlins and they're not very popular within the sport right now, them and the Astros, I guess, for different reasons. But, you know, Tommy Hotovy said, I was wearing masks and gloves and going to the grocery store, and I got it, but no one else in my family got it. Like, I do think people are getting this virus who are taking precautions, and it's just really damn contagious. And
yeah,
some people are just going to get it.
Right. And I'm not pointing the finger at those who have it or had it. I'm talking about the guys who have yet to test positive, who are continuing to behave in what I would term recklessness. And I see it every day. I see it around me, and I'm not ready for it. The need to hug, that can wait. You know, I don't understand what people are missing is, you know, Steve Stone said, watch the news. If you're watching the news, you should recognize that we're in the biggest mess in the world because we have not, God, here we go again. We've not treated this with the respect and vigilance it deserves. And when I say we, I'm saying we as a country.
And I will not be muzzled like a mad dog.
People right. have rejected the muzzle. They don't want to be muzzled. They don't want to be told what to do. And as a result of that, they're playing Russian roulette. They're rolling the dice. And I'm not surprised they are in the position they're in the least. And I wish I could be more optimistic about it. But until I see consistency, I'm going to suspect it's going to continue.
Yeah, and I think it does seem to me like the majority of Major League Baseball is actually doing a pretty good job. It's a really contagious virus. And if you look at the test numbers, they're doing a good job by percentage. But what's happening, and this is what, frankly, we were talking about back in March, when everybody was figuring out on the fly whether or not their jobs were essential or not, right? That was every industry in the country was learning, like, is my job essential? Do I have to go in? Do I not? Whatever. Like, hard to argue that sports are essential, and since they're non-essential, these jobs also do not really allow for social distancing, right? If you're not going to be in a bubble, you're in a clubhouse, you're in a dugout, you're on an airplane, you're a first baseman is holding a runner at first. There's an umpire. There's all these things, and that's baseball where there kind of is social distancing. Like, there's not in that basketball game I watched last night. Now, they created a bubble, so they got a real shot for that thing to work. Hockey literally left the country. They were like, eh. Yeah. You know, they literally said, you're not doing a good enough job in America. We're exporting all of our hockey teams over there once everybody has had multiple negative tests before they could enter the bubble in Canada. Canada doesn't even let the Blue Jays have their friends over for a playdate. Like, the Blue Jays don't have a home in their home country.
Yeah.
So it's so contagious and it's so precarious that I think what's happening is these guys are getting a false sense of security from, hey, I tested negative today. My friend tested negative today.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we're good to go, not fully grasping that you can test negative and still have it. So you still, like, Steph and I, we went to Kansas City to see extended family and have socially distanced visits in a outdoor space at a house we rented, two people at a time with masks. We were as safe as we possibly could have been. We came back. We each took two tests, a rapid result test and a full analysis test. We've both tested negative two times, thankfully. We're still not seeing anybody until we are 10 days symptom-free. And we're taking temperatures with the electric baby thermometer we have, because the people we want to see are my father, immunocompromised, my brother, immunocompromised. So, like, we are being vigilant. And that's, I think, what's happening in baseball, is they're like, oh, we got 100 pages of protocol, they're masks, we're getting tested all the time. We're being pretty damn safe, and they are, but it just takes one, because the actual act of what they're doing is impossible to socially distance with, right? So it's just one guy has it, and then you're on an airplane and guys aren't wearing masks, and all of a sudden 15 guys can have it, because that's how contagious the virus is.
Right, you become comfortable.
Exactly.
It's easy. Systematically desensitized. Just whether you play baseball and you're 22 years old or you're retired and you're 60 years old, people get comfortable. The more time they spend not being sick, the more time they spend trying to get back to something that resembles normal, the more comfortable they begin to feel that way. And that's when it becomes dangerous. And I don't agree with you on the job baseball is done. Yes, the numbers have not been radically high, other than in the Marlins case. That's really the outlier here, is the Miami Marlins. But every game I watch, I see guys touching, I see spitting, I see violations of things they were suggested that they were told not to do, and nobody's doing anything about it until Rob Manfred today makes a statement, get your S together, because we're going to have to stop the season if you don't. And he's right. I mean, if it would have been the Yankees or the Dodgers, or the Cubs, I'm not so sure we would have seen baseball continue as it did this past week.
I don't know about that, and it's certainly possible, and I've heard that thing posited. If they're going to complete this, they gotta lock it up. And I think it's most likely, right, that this, if with the reports about what's happening with the Marlins is true, that they were going out to clubs and bars and interacting with the public and all that. Like, they were just being straight up reckless and disregarding it, which is very Florida of them. That's where that happened. That's why that outbreak happened. It strikes me as unlikely that Jason Hayward spitting all alone in right field is going to be the thing that spreads the virus. So while that is one of the suggested protocols, that's probably not the cause for the outbreak. Like, I'm reading this thing right here. Each club is now required to identify a compliance officer who will be traveling with the club to help oversee players and make sure they're following protocols, everything from staying out of hotel bars and gatherings and not high-fiving. So it's they are basically being given hall monitors to go there and treat them like they're in school and not breaking the rules. And that's, I guess, what you have to do if you don't have a bubble, right? But I don't know, man. I don't know if it's possible with how the country is handling it if your sport doesn't have a bubble and you're going to be traveling. I honestly don't know if it's possible given how contagious this virus is, and you can be taking, like, you could be Tommy Hotovy wearing a mask and wearing gloves and still get the virus. If you do a job that doesn't allow you to socially distance at all times, like play sports and travel, I don't know if you don't have a bubble, if there's any way to do it, frankly.
Yeah, and while it's established now that the Marlins went clubbing, they're the ones who are going to take the beating for it from, you know, the cynical sports fans in the country. Not even cynical. People who just say, hey, it wasn't very smart on your part. They got caught. Not a doubt in my mind, every club in the league hasn't had guys. Any team that's been on the road has had guys go out and, you know, looking for a friend. And that's not going to change. And whether these monitors, you're going to have people put monitor. Okay, all right, we'll see. But they better pump the brakes on it, because this thing could be coming to a very fast halt here if there's another big outbreak like the ones we've seen. And there's no word yet, by the way, if that series in Milwaukee might resume tomorrow, correct? I know the Cardinals said, of course they did. They're ready to go. They want to go.
Yeah, of course.
But there's been no word from baseball as of yet, right? They haven't announced anything on the
I believe the only thing that's been announced is that the game that was postponed yesterday has been moved to a doubleheader in August. I don't think it's official that the game tomorrow is on, but it also hasn't been canceled yet. And again, the Marlins case is instructive here. At first it was 4 positive tests, then it was 10, then it was 18, then it was 20. I doubt they were all exposed to each other over random times, right? It took a while for everybody to show up positive. So as of now, there are 2 Cardinals employees who have, with the traveling party, one's a clubhouse attendant, who have tested positive. So in today's batch, will there be 0 more? Okay, great. What about tomorrow's batch and the next day's batch? Like, once there is exposure to infection, you've got to go a period of time before you can reasonably feel safe that nobody else has it. And I take no joy in this. Like, I have loved the quality of baseball. Haven't you? Like, haven't you been impressed with, on both sides of town? Like, even if the White Sox, you know, haven't been winning, or the Cubs, Hendricks last time, or their bullpen's been a disaster. Like, just like the intensity, the engagement, it doesn't feel nearly as rusty as I expected it to be, given the weird circumstances and the delay and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I've been buzzing about the way the game has been played. I've been entertained thoroughly. Wednesday night's baseball game in Cleveland was an absolute joy. Because typically I watch the game the next day to fast forward through commercials, but I had nothing going Wednesday night, and I'm glad I didn't, where I got to sit down and actually watch it as it was transpiring. Doing a little toggling until the Cubs game got out of hand when Nicholas Castellanos hit the grand slam. But that Sox game was an absolute joy. And I think we're silly, since this thing is now, you know, being threatened to, you know, be taken away from us. We gotta pounce on opportunities when we see them. We did take a loss as a show last night. Shep was 1-1 last night, but we're still up on the year. I think
one,
we're four and one or 5-1, something like that, on baseball this year. And I know this sounds terribly like a homer, but I like both of our locals tonight, and both are favored. The Cubs are -215. Yu Darvish, very good in 3 starts against the Pirates last year. The Pittsburgh pitcher tonight, Trevor Williams, didn't get out of the 4th in his first start of the year against the Cardinals, while the White Sox are -157 in Kansas City.
Who's the pitchers in this game?
Yep, Dallas Keuchel, very good in Kansas City, too. It was very perfect. Was very good in Sox first win of the year. He's been good historically at Kauffman Stadium, and the guy the Royals are throwing out tonight has never pitched higher than the single A level. Chris Bubic, a 22-year-old left-hander, will pitch for the Royals. And, man, with a day off to savor that win against, I think the White Sox are going to come out offensively smoking against this kid tonight. And I think we're silly if we don't take advantage of that opportunity with both the Cubs at minus 215 and the Sox at minus 157.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's be homers. Let's bet them individually, or you want a parlay? So we have the opportunity to go 1-1. What do you? I say individual.
Okay, individual it is. Consider them punched in.
All right, beautiful.
How much you want to go? 50 each? You want to go 100
sure.
each?
It's split the difference, 75 each.
Okay, done.
Okay, all right. Ish, that was easy. I like
Shellfish
gambling with
tower,
you.
Tower.
God.
Next week, maybe.
Yeah, it's about as inside as it gets. Yeah, I really hope it. We might have received the dumbest text message in this show's history. That's pretty exciting. We could read that coming up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Up on the score.
This guy's an idiot. I'm not even. You're this guy from 847. I'm not even going to read your text message because you're a nut.
Guys from the 563, Les. You quoted it in our show chat actually earlier today. The line from Will Hunting in Good Will Hunting. Effing people baffle me, man.
Yeah.
Like, this text, we're discussing 20% of Major League Baseball not being able to play tonight because of the virus, and the commissioner of baseball saying to all of the players through their head of their union, lock it up, or the season is going to shut down. That seems to me to be relatively big news.
Mm-hmm.
This texter. Are you guys going to change the name of your show to Karen and Karen? The Karen and Karen Show? Most people will get this virus at some point. Let adults make their own decisions. Stay away from old people. It's not hard. But thanks for telling everyone how to live their lives. How is your Stalin and Marx book club these days? I always just, like, oh, yeah, we no longer live in a democracy because a pandemic has come into this country. If you want sports to continue, you should want them to follow the protocol. It's that simple.
Yeah, I have thought a lot, especially over the two-week break recently, about whether I'm guilty of that, whether we as a radio station have been guilty of telling people how to live their lives, telling people how to feel about certain things. And sometimes I arrive at, you know, being dissatisfied with my answer, because sometimes the answer is yes. There has been some preachiness, but we're talking about, we're observing what's going on in baseball. and what has to happen if they're going to pump the brakes on this virus being spread further, and they have to be more vigilant and they have to follow those guidelines. It's not about telling people how to live so much as it is following the advice of people who are smarter than we are on the topic of communicable disease. And I recognize that it's probably not likely going to be spread via the high five or the low five for that matter. And I think it's silly that that would be language that's put into protocol, the high five. Just how about skin to skin contact? Any handshake? Just, you know, stop touching each other if you can. That is but it doesn't help matters. And there's all kinds of, you know, it's just, it's not been taken very seriously. And if it sounds preachy, yeah, I apologize. I try not to take it in a preachy direction. And I know I've not been perfect from that standpoint, but you know,
I don't apologize.
Well, I don't like it when I come off like I'm telling people how they should live or how they should feel. I just think in this circumstance,
no,
we're not. Go ahead.
Mac, I understand what you're saying, and I've seen and read the criticism too, but there are not two sides to every story. There is a fundamental public responsibility for public health to listen to medical experts and preach best practices to keep the most vulnerable among us safe. And if me saying wear a damn mask is preachy or telling people how to live, then I'll live with that one. Like, you know what? I disagree with me, trust your sources, whatever. Anybody can do that, but I can't. I don't know how much more obvious it can be through the context of sports than today. The commissioner of baseball, who took his union to the brink of a strike, a lockout, financial ruin, over we need to play, we have to play, we're losing billions and billions of dollars by not playing. This is a man who wants to play baseball, who works for owners who want to play baseball. He is telling you, if this keeps happening, we're not going to be able to play baseball and no one gets paid. That's the guy who has every incentive in the world to keep the status quo going, because then the games are on TV and we get to the playoffs and they make their money and the season happens. He's saying they're not doing a good enough job, and yeah, baseball's going to go away six damn games in. So, like, if that doesn't wake people up through the context of sports, come on. I honestly don't know what will. There was a thing today. Football, NFL reporters are saying that they're watching baseball because they're going to try to pull off a league in the fall with no bubble, and they're scared because of how much problems baseball is having so early on with this. So, like, there's not two sides to the wearing the mask discussion anymore. I'm sorry. There just isn't. The jury's out on that one. So I can't pretend like there's a legitimate opposition to that point just because some anonymous people online or some Breitbart posters say there is. I can't live in this world where there aren't facts and lies. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
It is more difficult for me on a personal level when, I had a couple of the boys over, my Highland gang, yesterday afternoon. And after the show, three or four more guys, I think there were five or six guys I had over total. One of these guys I just met a couple of years ago when I was working at Webb Ford, and he became a fast friend. And he is not, you know, Greg is not as vigilant as I am, and he just met a few of my friends within the last year, some of my lifelong friends, and they hit it off okay, and he and my buddy Mike embrace, you know, when they say, you know, it's like, I don't want to hug either one of you, and these guys have been around each other like twice in their lives, and they're hugging, and it is so hard for me to sit there and bite my tongue, but that's the type of thing we're talking about. We're talking about not getting up right on top of each other and staying a good 6 feet away. And for me, it's been easy. And some people just don't get the hint. You know, I was in a group on a golf course Wednesday, and it was an older guy, and he's getting real close to me. I paired with a guy who is probably in his early 80s. He shot the best of the bunch, too, by the way. He shot a 43 uneventfully, just banging
Very
the ball
impressive.
Forward 165 yards every shot. It was
That's
amazing.
So frustrating.
I know. He didn't lose a ball all day. His Coke bottle glasses, Marty. He just pressed forward the whole day, but... I'm walking backwards on the tee box because he's getting like real close to me, and I just keep walking till he almost walks me off the tee box, and he's not picking up on my lead that I'm backpedaling. Okay, I'm in my own zone. You got a 2-on-1 break here. Come on, shoot the puck already. It's enough. I mean, stop already. I guess I'm gonna have to learn how to be more direct, certainly with strangers, but people who I'm friendly with. When they comport themselves like that as though there's nothing going on, it's just, it's weird to me. It's like, you guys are getting the same news I get. You're watching the same stories I get. You all realize we're in the fifth month of this thing now. But they go back. People are a lot of people I've seen happy to go back to life as they knew it. And I certainly am not there yet. And I don't suspect I will be by the end of this year either.
God.
What?
I thought we had the dumbest text in the history of the show, and then it might have been topped. I hate this so much. I God, it's so frustrating to me. Texter, please, in all capital letters, explain why information from Breitbart is less credible than, say, CNN, the New York Times, or the Washington Post. Are you really that dense? Are you? Oh, God. It drives me insane. We live in a place where people no longer agree on a set of facts. They can create bubbles of pockets of information where they get facts that they want to hear sent to them. This virus is being studied by scientists. There are not two sides to that sort of thing. Doctors do not peddle in fake news and politics.
It's so refreshing. They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinion.
God. Mike Gundy, it's just, it's so ridiculous. And it's why we're here. It's why we're here.
You literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask knowing that that mask is killing people.
Oh, no. Oh,
I can't.
That woman.
I just want to talk sports. I just want to be distracted by sports. My life is stressful enough as it is.
I know. Damn that rain yesterday and since then, we'd still be doing a lot of this, though.
Well, but we'd be doing it because, Mac, 20% of the damn league. I don't want – I had a buddy in my group chat text, I really enjoyed that baseball season. I guess that's the only way Carlos Rodon can play a full season, like as if it's only six games.
Yeah, and he's lucky he didn't hurt himself stumbling off the mound in Cleveland the other night. I didn't even talk about that the other day. The hell are you having so much trouble with your plant foot there, dude? Jeez.
Yeah, it's
little
it's
stuff.
I know. And so I want baseball to keep playing. I want football to happen in the fall. I want my brother to be able to get on a damn airplane if he needs to for treatment. It's just crazy. And so, yeah, I have no tolerance for pretending. Like, I don't have to pretend like facts aren't facts. I'm sorry. Just because politically there are two sides to every issue, that does not mean that the sky isn't blue or that you don't need oxygen to live. Like, there are some things that are just facts, and I'm sorry. And I think I said the jury is out. The jury is in on masks. They help. Wear one. Sorry. I'm not, if that's telling you how to be.
You had the jury.
I had the jury out on masks. Yeah. My bad. The jury's in.
The jury is out looking for a drought of rain.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, oh.
The mask, that's my favorite every day.
Let's talk about Nick Madrigal coming up next on The Score.
The fourth selection of the 2018 MLB draft, the Chicago White Sox select Nick Madrigal, a shortstop from Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon.
Turning point last year seemed like it, as Madrigal sends this one down the third base side,
And Nick Madrigal rings it into the corner into left, and he's going to gun it into second base.
Giolito,
and think about three.
Giolito pointed at the umpire saying, that's foul.
Nick Madrigal called up to the show. First round pick just makes the White Sox that much more dangerous. We'll see his debut at some point this weekend in Kansas City. And he's in the lineup tonight. Dallas Keuchel on the mound. He is your nine hitter. Anderson, Moncada, Abreu, Grandal, Eloy, Robert, McCann, Engel, and Madrigal. You looking forward to seeing the kid, Mac?
Absolutely, because this is one of our nine White Sox Cubs wagers, and we got a lot of work to do because Nick Madrigal starts the year as a Schomburger rather than a White Soxer, and that gives Nico Hoerner an opportunity to get a real big lead early on. Now, we handicapped it with plate appearances for Hoerner, giving him 25.5. He is not in the starting lineup for the Cubs tonight. Jason Kipnis will play second base against the Pirates at least to start. So we got to get Madrigal banging away. But, yeah, I want to see what he can do. I'm looking forward to seeing if he's ready for the bigs, as everybody has contended he is. He's a little guy, but he's a good defensive player, and he can put the ball in play a little bit. So, sure, part of the White Sox core for the next decade, where they should be a very competitive baseball team.
Yeah, I think it's just every time you, even if you're mad about service time manipulation and Madrigal, like that Rick Renteria said that when he was told that he didn't make the opening day roster, he didn't even shake his hand. He just walked out of his office, and Renteria was like, I like that edge from him. Yeah, because he's mad you're messing with his money. You know, like he knows that it's going to cost him money and he's going to have to play on his rookie deal for an extra year. But every time you get a piece called up who you feel like is going to be a mainstay in your lineup for contending teams, it's exciting. And basically every name I just listed in that White Sox lineup feels like a guy who could be a big part of a contending team. That's just so refreshing. I remember when it happened with the Cubs. It's just such a refreshing feeling where it's like, okay, this is actually real. We're not just going through the motions of playing a baseball season on our way to 72 wins or whatever the equivalent of that is in a 60-game season. Like, it's actually a representative lineup and a real team that has a chance to compete. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, from a positional standpoint, they appear to be set for quite some time. They're young, and they've got where they're old, in the case of Jose Abreu, they've got some support waiting in the wings for when Jose Abreu finally does something other than play baseball for the White Sox. So they're set there. Now if the pitching can hold up its end of the bargain and just get to the seventh inning without too much damage and let that very, very deep bullpen go to work as we got to see the other night in Cleveland. That was an absolute joy to watch. I don't remember ever getting jacked before about a guy who was an eighth inning man.
That'll do it.
You know, and some people say, well, you didn't watch the White Sox in 2000 when Bobby Howry was setting up Keith Polk. No, I understand that, but this Aaron Bummer is something different than what Bobby Howry did. The way his ball is tough to pick up, and, man, it's got tremendous movement on it, and he brings it in the upper 90s, and Howry wasn't quite as powerful, didn't have quite the presence that you get from an Aaron Bummer. I didn't think, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Bummer's the best relief pitcher in Chicago baseball right now. I don't think it's particularly close. And we're betting on both Chicago teams tonight. Man, it's just so great. We got hockey, we got basketball, we got football for now. We got golf, Mac. I know you're pumped up about the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Brendan Todd, your leader, 5-under par through a couple of rounds, heading into the 5-under today. I think he's 11-under for the tournament. Brooks Koepka was at 7-under, 4 strokes back. Ricky Fowler up there, 9-under on the leaderboard. PGA is back. PGA coverage on the score brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. But we got over 60 North American team sporting events this weekend between basketball, hockey, and baseball. It's amazing. It almost feels normal.
Hawks a big underdog in the lid lifter tomorrow at Rogers' place. Yeah, I think I have to play the Hawks. Hawks may steal that first one.
Oh my! How about that, Big Chief Mackhawk? They're gonna. No, are you worried about the home ice, non-home ice advantage that Edmonton has?
No, I'm not worried about. The only thing I worry about is seeing Connor McDavid put neck burns on Corey Crawford because the red light just keeps swirling behind him. That's my only concern.
That's the only concern. Yeah, well, listen, congratulations on hockey being back. Enjoy your weekend, all right? It's going to be fun.
Thanks, man. You do the same. Do the best you can.
I'm going to do it, absolutely. Jed Hoyer was on the show. Joe Ostrowski was on the show. Steve Stone was on the show today. We appreciate all of their contributions. Herb Lawrence as well throughout all the scoring team. By the way, Mac, happy 100. 100.
Yes, we got to 100 shows, and Monday, Lord willing, it'll be 101.
Unbelievable.
As we start week 21 of shows at home on Monday.
Mick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
All right, guys, I've got a lot of things to do today. Talk to you next week.